This upcoming Halloween will be my 40th birthday, and even after nearly 25 years, the terrifying memory of that night has never faded. You see, I lost my virginity in a pumpkin patch on Halloween. I know, cliche. Specifically, I lost it in the bed of a pickup truck while it was parked in the pumpkin patch. To give you an idea, the patch was maybe 80 by 100 feet, and fenced off by wire mesh to prevent cows from getting in. The truck was parked just inside the only gate. Myself and my date had settled there right before the sun went down. My house was just across the street from the pumpkin patch. We shared a bottle of wine, awkwardly talked for a while, and then got to business. My family had two border collies, and as we were changing positions, the dogs wandered in and started barking at us. My date and I paused and drunkenly, playfully, began throwing scraps of food out into the pumpkins for them to chase. After a couple of minutes of that, we continued where we left off. After we were done, we sat there in the truck and looked up at the stars, while the dogs wandered around sniffing random things. After a short while, I saw my father return home, pulling into the driveway across the street. The dogs bounded out of the patch towards him, and me and my date quickly began to dress ourselves. Once we were fully clothed, we just sat on the tailgate and kept talking as we watched my dad pet the dogs and go into the house. It was about then that we heard it. A rustling sound coming from the patch somewhere behind us. We both paused and turned. At this point, there was only moonlight to illuminate our surroundings, but it was enough. And this is exactly what we saw. A single pumpkin began to rise up out of the patch, but not like someone was lifting it. It was kind of sideways, like it had been resting on its side and was now sitting up. For a split second, I thought someone was rising this pumpkin out of the patch on a stick or a metal bar. But then the stick changed position. It coiled like a snake and then shot straight up, like a man would be if he went from a squatting position to a standing position. I then saw two spindly legs with knee joints protruding from the thing, but no arms. There was a buzzing in my ear, and all of a sudden my date screamed. We both jumped off the truck and booked it out of the patch and sprinted towards my house. I glanced back once, and I'll swear on whatever you want me to swear on. A tall, skeletal figure was leaning over the truck where we had both been sitting, and I caught a glimpse of two beady red eyes staring back at me. We made it to my garage and forced our way through the kitchen door. I began screaming at my dad to get his gun. It wasn't until I saw the blood on the kitchen floor that I realized that my nose had been bleeding. Even more alarming, my date's nose was gushing blood as well. I told my dad that there was someone in the pumpkin patch, and he grabbed his gun and power walked out of the house, the dogs following closely behind him. But they stopped halfway there, refusing to come any closer to the pumpkin patch. When my dad returned, he was livid. He wanted to know what had damaged the fence and broke the tailgate off my truck, which technically was his truck. I could only shiver in confusion and abject terror. He reported that something had knocked the tailgate right off the truck, and then tore out of the patch from inside and destroyed a huge section of fence. I didn't sleep at all that night. I cowered in terror in the living room with all the lights on. The next day, the police came and examined the scene. The wire fence had been torn out of the ground and dragged a short distance away. There was no clear indication of what specifically had done it. My father and the police were convinced that it was a trespasser pulling a Halloween prank. But I never believed that for a moment. I tried to explain that the dogs had been pounding through the patch minutes before the thing had appeared, and neither of them had made a sound to alert us that there was a trespasser nearby. Furthermore, the entry gate to the patch made plenty of noise whenever the wind rattled it. So if someone climbed over it, it would make even more noise, and we had been sitting right by the gate. Another thing that terrified me is the shape of the thing as it stood. Even if it was a trespasser with an elaborate costume, none of that would even begin to explain the tailgate, the destroyed fence, the nosebleeds. and our dogs being too nervous to approach the patch, or the eyes I had caught a glimpse of. My father went to his grave believing that we had been vandalized by trespassers. My date and I concluded later that whatever it was, it hadn't been human or an animal. I don't tell the story often because I mostly get the same Charlie Brown joke. It was the Great Pumpkin. So no one really takes me seriously. But I've heard that skinwalkers can take the form of anything that best suits their surroundings. Our property wasn't anywhere near a Native American reservation, but I can't think of anything else it could have been. So what do you think it was? It's been 10 years since I've spoken about this incident. On Halloween of 2009, me and my younger sister, along with a couple of friends, went out to trick-or-treat. I was only 8 years old at the time. My younger sister was 5. My best friend's older brother was 17, and it was his responsibility to look after us that night. This took place in London, and at the time, we hardly had any crimes in our area. The night went off without a hitch, and we were all planning on calling it an evening since we had collected enough candy. My best friend's older brother was just about to call my dad, but before he could dial the number, he received a call from my dad. He let him know where to come to pick us up, and after a few minutes, my dad came and collected me and my sister. We said goodbye to our friends and thanked them for the fun evening. As my dad was driving my sister and I back home, he seemed on edge. Now, since I was only 8, I kept babbling on about how much candy we had collected, and how I couldn't wait to get home to eat them. My dad wasn't listening. He just looked really anxious about something. As soon as we got back home, I entered my house to find my mother, my aunt, and my cousin sitting in the living room. I greeted them, and my mother hugged both me and my sister. My dad sat us down and told us that we could never go out trick-or-treating ever again. Now, because I was 8, I began throwing a tantrum, complaining how I loved Halloween, and my parents were being unfair. My little sister was too young to even care. She was too busy going through the candy that we had collected. So after 2009, me and my sister never went out for Halloween. We didn't bother throwing a tantrum since we knew it would be pointless. However, in 2012, my brother was born. And last year, in 2018, he turned 6. My father finally relented and agreed to take my little brother and my sister out trick-or-treating. By this time, Halloween had lost its appeal for me, and I didn't want to go out anyway. My little brother gets his way since he's the youngest, and he loves Halloween. I decided to ask my mom why she didn't allow me and my sister to go out on Halloween after 2009. She sighed and explained to me that a boy from our neighborhood had gone out trick-or-treating in the same area. He was with his friends, but had somehow separated from the group. He ended up knocking on the door of an old house that was located at the end of a quiet street. I'll spare you the gory details, but the boy's body was found in that house after several people heard screaming and called the police. The boy's arm had been removed from his body, and he died from blood loss. The police had been going door to door warning parents about what happened, and that's when my dad came and collected us. My mother told me that they arrested an old, mentally deranged man in connection with the crime. But Halloween would never be the same again for my neighborhood. I had heard rumors about a boy who was killed on Halloween at my school, but I never took it seriously. I thought it was just a local urban legend. But now I understood why my dad looked so worried that night. The house where the boy was found, which is only a few blocks away from mine, now sits abandoned, with its windows boarded up. People around here jokingly refer to it as the Myers House. Halloween is pretty much ruined for me. I'll be staying home again this year. However, my brother, who's now 7, can't wait for Halloween. I just hope my dad keeps a close eye on him. The night before Halloween of 2006, I was walking down the sidewalk to my friend's house. As I was making my way down the sidewalk, I saw something moving across the street a little ways in front of me. I wasn't too familiar with the Halloween movies at the time, but I did recognize the Michael Myers mask as I watched the figure walk into the front yard of a house that was on the other side of the street. It then stopped, looked in my direction, and then turned and kept walking across the front yard. I was more weirded out than afraid. I figured this guy had to have been someone who lived there and was playing a practical joke on someone. I continued to my friend's house and eventually forgot all about it. The next morning, I was waiting for the school bus to come to pick up me and my sister. It was still pretty early, and the morning fog was rising up from the grass, and the frost was slowly melting off the windshields of some nearby parked cars. I was just wandering up and down the sidewalk when I saw the Michael Myers guy again. This time he was directly across the road, standing between two garages and looking my way. I pointed him out to my sister, but he was standing so still that she assumed that he was some kind of Halloween decoration. I was tempted to call out to him, but I decided against it. And even in my 12-year-old mind, I felt genuine alarm that an adult could walk around with a mask on this early and stare at someone else's children. It wasn't until I was on the bus that the figure finally moved. I tried to point him out to my sister, but the bus was already moving, and he was out of sight. That night was Halloween, and my sister and I went out dressed as Ash and Misty, and my father accompanied us, occasionally saying,
"Pikachu!"
in a really loud, squeaky voice when other people were close by to embarrass us. It wasn't until we were on our way home that I saw the Michael Myers guy again. He was walking down the side of the road behind us. Other people were walking by him without even reacting. I tried to point him out to my father, but he barely looked twice at the figure. When we got home, I watched from my bedroom as the figure stood outside our front lawn. He waited there for a few minutes before disappearing around the side of our house. Now I was starting to get nervous. I asked my dad if one of his friends was messing with us, and I begged him to take a look outside. But he came back a minute later, with a completely carefree attitude, stating that there was no one there. Later that night, my sister crept into my room and whispered that there was someone outside of her bedroom window. Instead of calling out to my parents, who were both asleep, I grabbed my flashlight and followed her back to her room. I told her not to turn on any lights. When we got to the window, I turned on the flashlight and shone the beam directly into the face of Michael Myers, who was standing directly outside, peering through the window. His hands were cupped against his eyes to help him see inside. When the light hit him, you would think that he would have bolted, but instead, he remained motionless. He opened his hands and slapped the window hard enough to knock a framed picture off the wall. I screamed like I was being eaten by a shark. The figure then put his right index finger up to the lips of his mask, as if telling me to shush. He then vanished into the darkness. My father then burst into the room, and we both started crying as we told him what we saw. The cops were called, but they took their time getting there, obviously not very concerned that it was anything other than a Halloween prank. Had I not seen the stranger before that night, I may have believed that. The neighborhood was searched, but no one wearing a Michael Myers mask was found. A few weeks later, I had come down with a cold and was staying home from school. My sister waited alone at the bus stop that day. While she was there, someone tried to pull up next to her in a white van and tried to convince her to climb in. She sprinted back to the house and told my mom. I'm not sure if this connects to the man in the Michael Myers mask, but something tells me that it does. When my girlfriend and I lived together, we loved celebrating Halloween. As far as we were concerned, it was a holiday that outranked all the others, even Christmas. Our favorite part was always the trick-or-treaters. We took great joy in dressing up for the kids and answering each knock on the door with a big, "Happy Halloween!" The smiling faces delighted us. We were the couple that overstocked our candy supply and gave out double handfuls to each kid that dared stand under our porch light on the night of Hallow's Eve. We were always quick to remind each and every trick-or-treater to have their parents check the candy before consuming it. Jackie and I took pride in that holiday. It reminded us that we were kids once too. Indeed, a bittersweet feeling, but it was worth every emotion it conjured up. Until the year the trick-or-treaters came, one night early. It was the 30th of October, around 3 a.m. I guess you could argue that it was technically Halloween, but we most certainly were not prepared to hand out treats at that time. My girlfriend and I were sound asleep when the knocking started. I didn't hear a thing until Jackie woke me up. I was still dazed when she whispered to me that someone was knocking on our front door. I sat up in bed and silently strained to listen. That's when I heard it. Three soft knocks. The knocks weren't banging or pounding. They were light and sounded delicate. Even so, the sense of threat lingered heavy in the air of our bedroom, and it made me weary. Who could be knocking on our door at this time of night? I wondered. My thoughts were interrupted when they knocked again. The sound resonated through our house, exactly the same as before. I quickly got out of bed and shuffled into some clothes that I could answer the door in. I told Jackie to stay in the bedroom and keep her phone close by, just in case. I then walked out of the room and headed towards the front door. By the time I reached its wooden frame, two more series of knocks had occurred. There was no sense of emergency or even urgency, just persistent and constant. I stood there staring at the lock on the door. I then shouted, "Hello?" Having no idea what to expect, to my complete surprise, a group of what sounded like young children answered back in unison.
"Trick or treat!"
My door had no peephole or window that I could look out of, but it definitely sounded like a group of preteen trick-or-treaters. For some bizarre reason, ignoring every sense of danger and intuition, I foolishly opened the door. Honestly, I don't even remember performing the action. I really don't think I was in control of myself. I was just suddenly standing in the open doorway staring at a group of children that I had never seen before. But the October chill that swept past my clothes and into my bones was a sure sign that this was no dream. Five preteen children stared back at me silently.
"Trick or treat,"
they said again, with the same cadence as before. Extremely puzzled, I asked the kids why they were out so late and told them that the Halloween festivities wouldn't start until tomorrow evening.
"Trick or treat,"
they replied for a third time, still staring at me with no expression on their faces. I started to get agitated. I was cold and tired. What they were doing was unacceptable. I sternly asked the children where they lived and if their parents were aware that they were out this time of night. They just snickered in response.
"Excuse me?"
I said in disbelief. Then one of them chimed.
"Your porch light is on. It's Halloween."
I was about to let off when Jackie brushed past me.
"Babe, stop being so mean to the kids. It's Halloween," she said.
I looked at her, and to my shock and awe, she was fully dressed in her Halloween costume. A fully done-up zombie. She had been in her pajamas and bed only moments before, but suddenly, her monster makeup was fixed up and everything. How did she do that so fast? She dresses up as a zombie every year, and it usually takes her over an hour to get ready. How had she done it in the few moments since I left the room?
"Jackie, honey, what are you doing?"
I gently grabbed her by the arm. She pulled her arm back viciously and shot me an evil look from hell.
It is Halloween,
she said angrily.
Yeah, but it's 3 a.m., Jackie,
I said, but she paid no attention to me.
Don't they all look so gorgeous all dressed up?
She asked, smiling, as she took a step towards the kids. She was holding a bowl full of candy. Giggling with excitement, she stuck her hand in the bowl, grabbed a handful of candy, and proceeded to drop them into a Halloween sack. Only, none of the kids had a sack, bucket, or bag. When Jackie let go of the candy, it plopped straight down onto the wooden floor in front of the kids on our porch, and my girlfriend didn't appear to see anything wrong with her behavior or the situation. Her reactions were totally out of character.
It's Halloween. Can we come in?
One of the children asked. They weren't even dressed up. How had I missed that? It was like they were all wearing the same exact clothes. The only feature that stood out at that moment were the dark, fully black eyes peering at us from the tiny emotionless faces standing underneath the porch light. Their eyes were way too black to be cosmetic. At that point, I knew something was seriously wrong. But before I could act, Jackie answered the kid's question with excitement.
Of course you can come in. You all look so cute in your costumes,
she said as she attempted to shove her way past me to let those little things into our house. I caught myself on the doorframe with one hand and grabbed her with my free arm. The kids were stepping forward towards our door as Jackie struggled to fight me off and pleaded with me to let them in. She was going absolutely crazy to keep the door open. Just before I managed to close and lock the door, I got a good look at one of the kids' faces. It had changed. Its teeth were sharp and jagged. It was almost as if it was drooling with hunger or something. Thinking back, it reminds me of the face that Pennywise the clown makes right before he snaps at someone. A thought that, to this day, chills me to the core of my fractured soul. Closing the front door and locking it wasn't enough. Something had come over Jackie. She would have done anything to let those kids, or whatever they were, inside. The rest of the night was torture. She clawed at me, hit me, bit me, and cried, screaming at the top of her lungs and throwing things at my head as she violently wrecked our whole house, including our phones. I couldn't even call for help. It was like she was possessed by those black-eyed children. She would stop at nothing to let them inside. Finally, she covered herself in lighter fluid and tried to light herself on fire in our kitchen. I had no other choice. I knocked her out and tied her to the bedposts. When Jackie came to, she pleaded and struggled against the ropes that bound her, crying for me to let them in, and struggling so hard against the ropes that it wore her skin completely off her wrists and ankles, leaving our white bedsheet stained red. For hours, the kids taunted us, knocking at our front door with that same polite three-tap knock. When the knocking finally stopped at dawn, so did Jackie. When I was sure she was no longer a threat, I untied her. Lucky for me, she remembered almost everything, but she was an absolute hysterical mess. The state of the house, the marks on my body, the makeup, the smell of lighter fluid, everything. She knew what she did, and it tore her apart. I rushed her to the neighbor's house where we called 911. I could only imagine how it looked. It must have seemed like some sadistic case of domestic violence. And even though Jackie confirmed to the authorities that everything I said was true, I don't think a single person believed our story. How the hell could I blame them? I stayed with Jackie for 2 years after that, but she was never the same person. When it became evident that she was never going to get out of the psychiatric hospital, I was pressured by her family to move on with my life and to leave their daughter in peace. I had done enough. As far as they were concerned, Jackie was deemed clinically insane, and in everyone's head, I was to blame. So I let go without even saying goodbye to her, and I hope it made things easier on everyone. because it damn near killed me. No matter what you hear or how you feel, don't ever answer your door to trick-or-treaters on October 30th, and never leave your porch light on the night before Halloween.
There's always a reason to be afraid.